Thank you for listening, downloading, sharing, subscribing, commenting, donating, and praying for us. And for going to BrotherLance.com to get the free PDF of this teaching.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Often, this most beautiful psalm is read through rose-colored glasses. Often, claimed as proof that life will be free from troubles. It is interesting when we realize the very exact opposite happened to the writer of the 23rd psalm. David had a hard life with many troubles, tribulations, and persecutions. His desire to do right by God at every turn leading up to his kingship was often met with lies, betrayals, and loss. Running for his life, always on the run, separated from his wife and best friend, fleeing the foreign lands, finding friendship with loners and vagabonds, and living in caves. No, Psalms 23 is not a promise of carefree living. It's the very opposite of that. David knew hard times, but God was always with him. This is the point of the 23rd Psalms. Despite the troubles in life, you have a shepherd caring for you through it all. So let's take a closer look at what Psalms 23 really says and why it matters. Dearly Father, please give us the Holy Spirit as we study the 23rd Psalms and what it actually says and why it matters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's start with Psalms 23 verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What is a shepherd? If the Lord is the shepherd, it means he is in control. It means the sheep don't get to make the plans. It means you must submit your will to his. Ultimately, being a sheep does not mean you live in a democracy where everyone gets to have a say and then a vote. It means you live under a kingship, a monarchy of the shepherd. In the trade for the shepherd's loving attention and care for your well-being, you forfeit any claim to your own desires and wants. You're now being led by his will and his ways under his discretion. So you'll not want for your needs, but you'll also have to give up your own wants and desires for his. This does not mean he doesn't care about your personal wants and desires. He does. Yet, if they are fulfilled, they will be accomplished in his timing and not yours. Let's look at Psalms 23, verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. If you're being made to lie down in the green pastures, it means you're being told what to do. Now, it is to your benefit you listen and get the good grass, right? It implies that without him to make you do this, you would, in all likelihood, be in dry and arid ground going hungry, as most do before following the shepherd. Next part, he leads me beside the still waters. If you're being led to the still waters, then it implies that at some point when the good shepherd was not watching over your soul, you were by the rough waters, being led away from there to the still waters. On your travels following the shepherd to the perfect location of still water, I promise you, you have passed by the rough torrents of the rapids. Now let's look at the route you have taken to get to those green pastures, that still and crystal clear water. In Psalms 23:3, it says, he restores my soul. He leads me in path of righteousness for his name's sake. So step one, your soul needed to be restored. It says, he restored my soul. Your soul needed to be restored. Your battery has gotten low. Your strength was failing you. You could barely go on, but the good shepherd empowered you and restored you. That's step one. Step two, he has taken you off the wide, selfish path of unrighteousness and placed you on the narrow path of righteousness by your faith or trust in him. Right? So step one, step two. So Psalms 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So step three, you have either been found in the valley of death or must walk through it to find the salvation of your soul. The valley is not removed and you don't go around. You are led through the valley. Step four, you will be surrounded by evil on your journey. Your trust in the shepherd does not stop evil from existing in your life. Your trust allows you to have confidence in him, and this removes the fear of the evil that surrounds you. Step five, as a sheep, you might want to wander astray, so the good shepherd has the rod and staff ever at the ready to discipline you back into the narrow path. As we know, we are traveling through the valley of death, and evil surrounds us, so his discipline is out of love and concern for your safety. That's why he's the good shepherd. Psalms 23 verse 5. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. So step six, we must receive his provision to survive. But do be aware, your enemies are always watching you. The shepherd watches over you as you're being watched. He provides many delicacies of the spiritual meat for his sheep. But those who wish to do you harm are not very far away, and they never will be. Step 7. As your enemies watch, they will also marvel at the care of the shepherd as he anoints you in the Spirit. They will marvel and not understand the abundance of his grace and mercy you receive. The peace you have will stand in contrast to the valley of death you are traveling through in this life. And as the shepherd rains down on you blessings more than it can be contained or explained, the love you experience will provoke your enemies to jealousy, those perpetrators of evil. As they live in desperate and dry places, they'll be angry at you because you're not with them. All right. This is where you have arrived in the green pastures of heaven, right under the tree of life, and we rest near the quiet, still waters of the river of life. So we'll read verse 2 again before we read the final verse. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Now, we will read the final verse of the 23rd Song of David. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now because you trusted and forsaken your own will and ways, goodness and heavenly mercy from a loving Father God will chase you all the days of your life. The word they translate, follow me, actually means to chase or run after in heated intent. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death and evil surrounds you, and all the while your enemies stare you down, now it is the good things of heaven that will hunt you down, not the wolves of the devil. No, it will be his love that will stalk you and search you out and pour on you all the blessings he has in store for you. And yes, when your soul needs to be restored from traveling in this evil world through the valley of the shadow of death on your way to heaven, he will do that. He will restore you. So, in closing, if you don't look at the 23rd Psalms in the Hebrew language, which you can do this using software or concordance, you might miss the perpetual cycle placed in the Psalms. In verse 2, it starts with, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. In verse 6, the final verse ends with, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In verse 2, it says, lie down. In verse 6, it says, I will dwell. The word used in Hebrew for dwell means to sit or recline or to lie down. So the two verses together, verses 2 and 6, imply the same thing, to dwell or sit or recline. Now in verse 2, it says, green pastures, and in verse 6 it says, house of the Lord, or Yahweh. The word in verse 2 for pastures actually means home, habitation, a pleasant place, or figuratively, a pasture. In verse 6 it says, house of the Lord. So both imply the same thing, to remain in the house of God in a relaxed and comfortable position. So we find that there is a perpetual cycle after the declaration of the Lord being the good shepherd found in verse 1, verses 2 through 6 continuously cycle over and over and over again. I find that the 23rd Psalms is not meant to have an end. The shepherd never stops being the good shepherd. God's provisions never run out. Your need for renewal and restoration will never end this side of heaven. He will never stop loving us, and we can always and forever trust this to be true. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much that you are the shepherd of our soul, and Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, and that you have sent him here to guide us in the power of the Holy Spirit to go on to the great place that is filled with green pastures and still waters and living fruit. and that we will not be left alone in this life as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death and our enemies stare us down. No, not even when we get worn out and tired and we need your help. You don't give up on us. So we thank you for that, Father. Bless our days ahead. Give us strength in this new knowledge that life isn't always easy, but you are always with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.